Tennessee. I've met people from Alabama. I've met people from the Carolinas. And all them people have the same thing in their heart that I got in mine.
Yep.
And we never trade. We never corresponded with each other. We've never talked on the telephone. We never Facebook. We never text message. We never did nothing. And somebody says, well, what explains all that? That's God.
Amen.
Yep. He is real. He is so real today. And I like that song, I'm on the winning side.
Yeah.
And I like that part, I've enlisted in the fight.
Yeah.
He placed me in his winning side. He placed me in the army. But when he placed me in there, I enlisted into a fight.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. Can I say this today? Some of us might be a little AWOL on our posts.
That's right.
But we've all enlisted into a fight. You say, preacher, what am I fighting for? We're fighting for lost souls.
Amen.
There's a war going on. There's a battle going on between good and evil. There's a great big battle going on right now. It's happening in this church house today. It's over the soul of man. Greatest battle there ever is for the soul of man to be rescued and saved. And we should be in the battle today. If you've got your Bibles, hopefully you do. Hope you got your King James Bible. Go to Acts chapter number 22. Acts chapter number 22, we want to give you what God's given us. He's had this on our heart for all week. And I'll be honest with you, I struggled with it today. Normally, as we've said, I've told you before, we like having some notes and things wrote down and all this other stuff. And I've wrestled and wrestled and wrestled back and forth. And he won't give me nothing. And whenever he does that, it just scares me plumb to death. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm one of them people that likes to be totally prepared. He reminded me, Brother James, that he's the one. It's his message and ain't mine. He cooks it. He cooks it, not me. His oven don't burn it. His oven don't undercook it. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we keep talking about cooking. We like to cut out and go to supper or something, dinner. And somebody amen on the supper. Y'all got Acts chapter number 22. Say amen. I'm going to be reading at verse number 26. Going to read down. But our heart is centered upon the last part of verse number 28. But we want to read. Start reading at verse number 26. And this is what the writer of Acts had wrote. He's writing about the Apostle Paul. This is where the Apostle Paul is captive right now for preaching the gospel. And here we're going to start reading here at verse number 26. And this is what it says. It says, when the centurions heard that he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, Father, we come to you, Lord, at this time. Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace. And Lord, we pray, Father, for your will to be done in our life. And Father, we pray for this message right here, Lord, Father, that you've ordained and sent our way. Father, we pray that you anoint it, Lord, with that fresh oil that comes from up on high. And God, we pray, Lord, Father, that you would just preach through us, Lord. Magnify your spirit, magnify your power, Father, through us today. Preach and touch hearts, Lord, change us. Father, may we leave today not being unchanged, Lord. I believe we're ever needing to be changed and changed to be more like into the image of your dear Son. And Father, I pray today, Lord, that for all of us that nameth your name, that we would depart from iniquity today. Father, that we would come to you, Lord, Father, and cleave to you. And Father, if there's any wicked way in us, Lord, that we would surrender it and submit it and sacrifice it, God, and get you closer unto us. And Father, I pray for all those that's lost here today. And they know who they are. They don't need me to point them out. God, you speak to them. It's your spirit that does it. But God, we pray for their heart. We pray, Lord, Father, that they would realize, Lord, that the revelation would hit them. And they would believe, Lord, that they need you in their life. You know how to deal with them, God. God, I pray for this flesh, Lord, Father, you get it out of the way of this preacher. And God, Lord, preach through us this acceptable word for this acceptable hour, for this acceptable congregation. It's in thy Son's sweet, precious, beautiful, holy, righteous name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading and praying with us. We really covet your prayers. If you get an opportunity, whisper a little prayer for us today. I want to preach upon where the Apostle Paul said, I was free born. I was free born. The Apostle Paul here in this end of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, most of us know, who once was Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says he was a devout Jew. He was a devout man of the Pharisee religion. He was highly intelligent, as they say, when it come to the Scriptures. He even said with his own words, he said, "No man profited more than I did," he said, "in the Pharisee religion." He said, "According to the law," he said, "I knew it all." He said, "I knew it. I knew how to dot the I's and cross the T's. I knew everything there was." But he said, "I counted it all as dung that I may know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and know and be in fellowship of his sufferings." He was on the road to Damascus heading down with papers in his very hand, papers to persecute the church and to bind them and arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem and have them to be punished. The Apostle Paul, who once was Saul, was the man who stood and watched the garments and maybe held the garments on while they stoned the deacon Stephen when he preached that wonderful message in Acts chapter number 7. Saul was there and heard the gospel preached. He heard it from the beginning of the law until Jesus Christ, and how the conviction must have pricked the people's hearts of those days. And can I say, today has not changed much different than those days when the man of God is filled with the power of God and he begins to preach the word of God, and then the power of God begins to prick the hearts of man. Men get upset and men get mad. But can I tell you, he's not trying to get to your heart to cast you down or to kill you. He's trying to get you to realize there's a better life and there's a better way, and it is the only way, and that is through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, then, after he was converted on the road to Damascus, went down to the man's house of Ananias, and Ananias was told by the Lord to lay hands upon Saul of Tarsus because he was blind and needed his eyesight, and that God had chosen him to preach the gospel. And can I say this today? A lot of times people look at the well-versed or the well-knowledged or the well-studied or those that have some kind of gift, or maybe they look upon those that have a charismatic type attitude or disposition and think they're the ones that God has called and chosen to deliver his word. But may I remind everybody, Paul said, God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And can I say this today? It pleased the Father through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Now, preaching ain't foolishness unto us that believe. And the man of God is not foolishness unto us that believe. But God was letting everybody know he was going to take a person who was not qualified in man's eyes, but qualify him in God's hands, and to preach the power and preach the word that they might believe it. It's not power unless you believe it. It won't deliver your soul unless you believe it. It won't help you in life unless you believe it. It won't help you in depression unless you believe it. I'm telling you today, you need to have this on the inside. And the Apostle Paul, a man who was deeply steeped in his religion, a man who was very religious, realized when he come in contact with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he said, "A light shined round about me," but he said, "I heard a voice." Woo! You said, "Preacher, he heard a voice?" Yes, he heard a voice. Now, everybody else that was with him didn't hear a voice, but he said, "I heard a voice." It reminded me the day that I got saved, there was people standing around me. I didn't ask them if they heard anybody talking, but Sister Michelle, that day I heard a voice. It was on the inside. It wasn't on the outside. It wasn't speaking in this ear. It was speaking into that ear, and I had to move and respond and press out. When God spoke to me, I had to do something, and I ran to him, and thank God that I did, and my life has always been better since. Can I remind everybody today that the Apostle Paul is a man who had everything that he had was given to him. The Apostle Paul, he was talking here in this scripture. He says, "I was free born." To be a Roman citizen, there was only two ways you could have been a Roman citizen. You had to be born in to be a Roman citizen, or you had to pay a high price to be a Roman citizen. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, though his parents were Jews, he was from Tarsus. And Tarsus was a free city in the land of Cilicia, which was in the province of Rome. But the Apostle Paul wanted to remind them, he said, "My mommy and daddy didn't pay my way in." He said, "I was free born." Y'all hearing this, preacher? The Apostle Paul was claiming the birth that he was given, claiming the birth that gave him rights. It wasn't nothing that he did. He said, "I was free born." And can I remind everybody today that as it was in the days of Rome, as it was in the days of the Jews, and as it is today in the church of the Lord, church of God, you have to be born into it. Now, can I say this today, though? Roman citizens could have paid a hefty price to be a Roman citizen, but you can't pay the price to be in the to be one of God's children. Can I say the price was elevated too high to be born into this thing for you to pay for? I got to thinking about this today as I was thinking about Megan and Brian and thinking about James and Tina and thinking about everybody that's have babies. And I remember the high cost of having babies. I mean, you think if I really counted up the cost, I wouldn't have had so many. But I'm telling you, it was telling me that the average cost of a baby to be born today with an epidural is around $10,000. It's about $9,775 to pay for a baby out of your own pocket. Now, most of us have insurance, but I'm not trying to get onto that thing, but I want to get onto that subject. But I want to realize for folks to realize this today is that it costs you something to be born into this world. Back even before they paid and had doctors thing, there was a high cost. It was disease and it was infections. And midwives would have to birth babies in unsanitary conditions. And that's why death rates among infants were higher back in the old days than it is today. It still was a high cost to give birth to a child in these days. It was still high cost to give birth to a child in those days. But can I say something today? There's a high cost when it comes to the birth of a child of God today's day. It's the same cost as it was back then. I want to preach three things unto you today. And the first thing is there was a cost that had to be paid for you to be born into this thing. I've often heard people often say, they say, "Preacher, I've just been a Christian all my life. I've always just been that way." I beg to differ, friend. You have not always been a Christian. You didn't get birth naturally into this thing. Megan, we'll get to that just here in a minute. But I want you to know there's had to be a place along the way where you got birthed into the church. And it wasn't by an earthly daddy and an earthly mommy, but it was by a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And I can say this today, there's some things that's been on my heart here in the last 6 months and some things I just can't quite understand. And I think that's the reason why God wouldn't let me write down notes, because sometimes I have been guilty in my thinking and in the things I do in my heart. Sometimes I get my standards ahead of God's standards and try to put them above God's standards. But can I say this today? You have to be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. And can I say there was a high price that cost for this birth? In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, the Bible talks about the reason why you have to be birthed. In John chapter 3 and verse number 3, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, who is a religious person, who's a church-going man, if you'll have it in those days. As a matter of fact, he was a leader in the church. And when he come to Jesus by night, Jesus told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And if Nicodemus being a Jew and Jesus being a Jew and Jesus telling that Jew, he must be born again, ain't a single one of us any better than Nicodemus. And we all have to be born again. I'm not trying to be difficult, but I am trying to give you the straight gospel truth and let God give it to you in the directions of your heart and let it feel in the way that he says it to be filled up into your heart. But I'm telling you today, there's too many people that's relying on something that's not been authorized by God's word, not been authorized by God's spirit, and they think that they're a part of the great number that's going to heaven. And I'm not trying to push you out. I'm wanting you to get in. I want you to go up into glory with me. I want you to get on the cloud with me. And you might be thinking, "Preacher, how do you know that you are in this?" Because I was born into it. I was free born. Can I say this today? It's not by your intelligence, because if it was based upon intelligence, some of us are ignorant and not as well educated as others. And can I say it's not based upon wealth, because there's always somebody richer than we are when it comes to wealth. And can I say it's not based upon athletic ability, because there's other people that's more athletic than we are. And though the world picks out people according to the things on the outside, I'm glad God looks on the inside and sees the heart. I'm glad today when he looks down into the heart of man, he can tell whether or not if he's welcomed in that heart or if he is not. I can stand up here and preach all day long and sweat and spit and lose my voice and sweat my clothes till they're wet. But I'm telling you, God knows where you're at when it comes to him, and you do too. I've heard people tell me, they said, "Preacher, I didn't know this and I didn't know that." Well, if your heart was seeking after God, God's not going to leave you in the dark. He'll shine the light into your life and He'll manifest it and let everything to be known in your life that you need to know. I've heard people say, "Preacher, I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do that." I've met men who doesn't know how to read, but God still saved their soul. I've met men who could even sign their name. They would put an X on a piece of paper for their signature. But Brother Howard Faulkner, God still saved their soul. Woo! I'm glad it's that way today. It is the free gift of God, but it did cost something. The cost was a high cost. The cost was a price that had to be paid. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9, it says, under the law, most all things were purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You said, "Preacher, we've heard these messages before." And can I say these messages have been preached throughout eternity or throughout time upon this land? Throughout since the history of the world, it's always been a blood sacrifice. There had to be a blood atonement being made. May I remind everybody in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden for not following one commandment that God gave them, when they fell from the one commandment, they go out to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they ate that fruit when they fell in the garden in sin, and the fellowship of God was taken away, and they died that day in the presence of God. Still yet God clothed their nakedness with skins of an animal. Now, I ain't much of a hunter. I don't think I'm good at one at all. But I do know the only way you're going to get a skin off an animal unless that animal has to give his blood. Y'all hearing this preacher this morning? And from that time on, God demanded a sacrifice. God demanded a right sacrifice. You couldn't just offer up something that was lame. You couldn't offer up something that was broken. You couldn't offer up something that was messed up or dirty. It had to be the best thing that you have. I've heard people talk about Cain and Abel all the time. But God loved Abel's sacrifice and didn't love Cain's. The Bible says that Abel's sacrifice was more righteous than Cain's. And you said, "Preacher, how come?" Because Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. And some people come to the house of God and some people can't understand it. They said, "Preacher, I just can't understand the things that you're giving or the things that you're preaching or understanding the thing God's demanding." Well, the reason why is you're not giving the best that you've got. You're not giving Him your attention. You're not giving Him your ear. You're not giving Him your heart to open up and say, "God, speak to me." The day the Bible says that you seek the Lord with your whole heart, He'll be found with you. There's a high cost to come to this birth that the Apostle Paul was talking about. And there's a high cost to the birth when it comes to being born again into the church. Can I say, when that blood throughout the history of the Old Testament, the animals that had been slaughtered, the goats and the sheep and the pigeons and the turtle doves and the oxen that had been slayed upon the altar. I've heard a lot of people talk about the tabernacle. You could go on the internet and buy books and see how the tabernacle was made. And even talks about the altar when you first come into the tabernacle. Before you get to the holiest of holies, there's a big old altar there with gratings and fire on it. But I'm telling you, it wasn't a pleasant sight. It didn't smell good. The smell of burnt flesh, the smell of hair being burnt and blood everywhere because of the sacrifices that had to be made for the atonement of sin. And can I say this today? I heard a lot of people say, "Preacher, just exactly how am I become a sinner?" You're born into it. Woo! Can I say this today? Through and by our birth, naturally, we were born sinners. But through and by our rebirth, we can be born into the family of God. Y'all pray for the preacher. I wanted to preach that first and God wouldn't let me. But I'm telling you this today, that there had to be a blood sacrifice made back in that Old Testament. And throughout all the Old Testament and throughout under the law, there had to be a sacrifice made. I mean, there were sacrifices upon sacrifices upon sacrifices. One place we find where King Solomon sacrificed thousands of animals. They were sacrificing from morning unto evening, sacrificing animals over and over and over again. But the Bible says the blood of bulls and goats and bullocks couldn't take away sin forever. But God, being a God that He is, He's a God who is love, and He loves us so much. He said there needed to be a sacrifice once and for all sin and for all men. He said, "I didn't do it in A, it wasn't plan B, it wasn't even plan A, He wasn't playing seed any down to Z. But the Bible says before the foundation of the world, there was a lamb from the line of the tribe of Judah who hath prevailed and who was worthy. He was the one. He was God's only son. Come down the likeness of sinful flesh and gave his life upon. Y'all hearing this preacher this morning? He gave his life for you. He gave his life for me and shed all his blood. I've heard people sing this song, and don't get me wrong, I ain't trying to be difficult, but I want to remind you of something. Jesus didn't shed one drop of blood for you. I heard people say, Jesus shed a drop of blood just for me. No, friend, the cost was even higher than one drop. He shed all his blood just for you. He didn't spill it. He didn't dump her out, but he shed it out for every man, woman, boy, and girl. He shed it all for me. He shed it all for you, Donnie. All for you, Jeff, and all for you, Tanya. I mean, the price was so high. Preacher, why did it cost so much? That way nobody could outbid Jesus because he loves us so much. He said, I'll give my life for. Y'all hearing this preacher? I ain't up here flapping my gums, am I? Huh? There's a high price for our lives. There was a high price demanded. There was a cost. I like that old song. It's still the blood. Amen. It takes away sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. I've often heard people say, well, preacher, I thought it was in religious practices. It's not in religious practices. Preacher, I thought it was coming in church attendance. Don't get me wrong. I believe wholeheartedly in church attendance. I even met a guy, Steve Perry put this on Facebook, and yeah, I'll use his name because he can, you all got a problem with it. Take it up with him, don't take it up with me. But he said something that was real keen to my heart. He said, if our work attendance was like our church attendance, would we still keep our job? Woo! I mean, that hurt. I mean, I felt that right there. But I'm glad to know this today, that it's not based upon church attendance, though you need to be in church every time that you can be there. But it's not based upon you coming to church, not based upon religious activity. It's not based upon you carrying a King James Bible. It's not based upon you knowing the words of Amazing Grace. It's not based upon whether or not you got a perfect attendance at Sunday school. It's not based upon whether or not you pray three times a day. You can pray five times a day. You can have an altar out in the woods, an altar in the barn, an altar in the house. It's not based upon those things. But what it's based upon a person. And salvation's based upon a person. It's not based upon a prayer. It's based upon Jesus Christ. The Bible says this promise and this testimony that God gave unto us, that this life was in his son, and this life is eternal life. The only way you get born again is by the blood of Jesus Christ. There had to be a cost. There had to be a cost for you to be born again. I'm reminded so many times about this cost. I'm reminded on how exactly you get birthed into this. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard to fathom and get wrapped around my head. I feel like Nicodemus sometimes. I say, Lord, how can I be born again? I've already been birthed. And Jesus said, you're talking about a fleshly birth. He said, I'm talking about a spiritual birth. There needs to be a spiritual birth in everybody's life if they're going to make it to heaven. What we used to say, if you're born once, you'll die twice, Revelation 9, or 20. But if you're born twice, you only die once. You need to have a second birth, and the second birth is not a physical birth. The second birth is a spiritual birth. And that second birth is a spiritual birth because it's only through and by the Lord and only through and by God that you're going to get that second birth. And can I say that birth comes in stages? The first stage is you got to get birthed by the Word. You got to get birthed by the Word. You said, preacher, I don't understand. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born of the water and you have to be born of the Spirit. Now, a lot of times people get that backwards. A lot of them water dogs, and then people, it says you got to get baptized in the water before you can go to heaven, because if you don't get baptized in the water before you go to heaven, you ain't going to heaven. That's a lie. That's some Campbellites. That's some water dogs. The Scripture says you must be born of the water and then of the Spirit. The water in Scripture, in most connotations, is a representation of the Word of God. The Bible talks about how Jesus said, how Paul said to the church of Ephesus that Christ will present His church by the washing and the watering of the Word. My Bible tells me that it takes that Word of God that gets into the heart. Faith cometh by hearing, Paul said in Romans chapter number 10, and by hearing the Word of God. When that Word comes out through and by him, man, the man that God calls and anoints to preach, it comes and pricks the heart of the believer or the person that needs to believe. And when that Word gets into their life, it does something to them. Peter says this in chapter number 1 of 1st Epistle of Peter and verse number 23. He says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Hey friend, I know a lot of folks says, well, I don't like going to church, and I definitely don't like preachers like you. I can't stand them sweating, hollering, bellering preachers. There's some folks that came here recently and they said they wanted to hear some preaching. They wanted to go to church. And when I got up here and began to preach, and it said it scared them plumb to death and they wasn't going to come back. Now, some people might be saying, going there, preacher, see, you need to soften up the message, tone down your temper, tone down your volume and everything, and you'll get more people in. There's only one problem. I ain't controlling my temper. I ain't controlling my volume. I ain't controlling my sweat and my spit. The Bible says that the man of God is filled by the power of God. Paul said, preach me with the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I'm not the preacher. He's the one doing the preaching. And he said, my word's got to be preached in the power of the Word and of the Spirit to get into your hall. You got to be birthed that way. If you come to me and say, but preacher, I got birthed because my daddy's the pastor. You didn't come too late to tell me that, because my Bible tells me if your daddy's the pastor, you ain't getting born again because of that. Oh, preacher, my mama sings in the choir. She may sing lovely in the choir, but you ain't getting born again because of that. You got to get born again because the Word of God got down in your heart. Tony, I didn't know what to believe until God put that Word in my heart. I mean, my mind, I mean, don't get up in there. I mean, it drives me nuts to get up in there. But when it got down in my heart, I mean, it spoke volumes. I could not deny the Word of God. Preacher, what did the Word of God tell you? It told me if I didn't get saved, I was going to die and go to hell. It says the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Word of God told me that there was a cross upon Calvary, and it wasn't just an emblem for bumper stickers and belt buckles and ties and t-shirts. It's not an emblem. It was a place of suffering and shame where the high cost of salvation was paid. And it was paid at Calvary. For us to be born again, first of all, you got to be born by the Word. You got to believe it. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I don't know if I believe all of it. If you don't believe all of it, you don't believe none of it. Either He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Amen. I even know some fellas that says, well, you know, I like that Bible, preacher, but I don't like the writings of the Apostle Paul. You in big trouble? Well, I don't like the Old Testament, preacher. I like the New Testament. Don't like the Old Testament. You're in big trouble. You said, preacher, I don't understand. I mean, there's just certain things about that Word I just don't like. There's some things about that Word I just don't understand. Well, here's the reason why you're in trouble. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is not just words on ink and paper. This Word was manifested in the flesh. The Bible says we beheld it of the glory of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word of God has to get into your heart. And when you get in and believe it, it becomes the power of God. And then the Spirit comes. It's a spiritual birth. I'm reminded in Scriptures how that this it's a spirit thing. Jesus says the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And this is the part that I've wrestled with and wrestled with and wrestled with and wrestled with over and over again. Even myself, I have to wrestle with it. But I see a lot of folks wrestling with it today and they don't understand it. You're wrestling with the same things that I wrestle with and a lot of folks is wrestling with. And what we're wrestling with is the spiritual end of all this stuff. This birth is not a natural birth. This birth is a spiritual birth. When the Bible says He gives us His Spirit, that means our spirit is a tainted spirit. Our spirit is a bad spirit. Our spirit, the spirit of man, worketh not. The spirit of man does not understand. The spirit of man can't confound or get revelated. The spirit of man does not know the things of God. They have to be spiritually understood. But I'm glad His Spirit reveals them unto us. Y'all following this preacher? Huh? But what if I stopped right there and said it's the Spirit that has to do something with it and we all just leave? There's a birth that must take place for the James Powell. There's a birth that has to happen in everybody's life. Because if they're not born again, Carrie, then there's no hope from them outside this life. The Apostle Paul says, not only are we born of the Spirit, we're born of the Word, and we're born of the Spirit, but the Apostle Paul talked about how that birth meant a brand new life. I want to ask some folks today, and this is what's been on my heart here recently, if you've been born again, how's this new life going for you? I've heard often people say, preacher, you can't do that. You better watch what you're doing, preacher. You're teetering on the lines of judging folks. You can't be judging folks. All I got to say is don't judge me. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm asking you through and by the Scriptures of God. If the Apostle Paul, and it has been said over and over again from this pulpit, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. Are they dead? Have they been buried? Have they been put in the ground? I mean, are they gone? Are they? If they're still there, something's wrong. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Don't shut down on me now. If all things are passed away, are they passed away? And the Bible says, and all things are new. And the next verse says, and all things are of God. Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect. I fail Him every day. I have a problem. I have a problem, and it's called my flesh. And I battle it left and right, left and right, left and right. But I'm telling you, when God points out the enemy and we go to attack and go to battle with it and we get the victory over it, it should die. It should not exist. It should be pushed away, put away, and dead because of a brand new life. Y'all hearing this, preacher? I sat yesterday and talked to an individual. And I talked and talked and talked. This I used to call him a boy. He's a man now. And I was talking to him, and his life is a nothing but a total mess, deep and dark. Now, I remember me and Tammy used to take him to church. We used to have him spend the night with us, and even Tammy was talking on the way home how she used to make pancakes and stuff for him. I wish she'd make some pancakes for me. You know, I like him pancakes. I'm going to remember that, too. But y'all don't tighten up on me. I like pancakes. But we talked about how we used to take him to church, and we used to try to be there for him because his family life wasn't the best life. But some folks just thought, man, you ought not to hang around. Maybe Jason's just too strict. Maybe Jason and Tammy, I don't know what their thinking was. They had him join up with some other folks. And that life he got put into, it was a shambles. And now he's at an age now, his life, he's facing some time. Penitentiary time now. And I sit there, my heart was just breaking on the inside, breaking on the inside, breaking on the inside. And there's so many people that I know around that talked about all you got to do is just pray. All you got to do is pray. And don't get me wrong, praying is the best thing. But if you ain't got nothing on the inside, stop praying for the things on the outside and say, God, the first thing I need to do is get born again. Amen. So many times people says, well, I'm going to pray about this situation and I hope God takes care of it. Well, the best way you know God will take care of it is if you're God's child. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, can I tell you this today? So many people says, well, I believe in God and I believe in the Savior Jesus Christ. But you have not been born again. There has not been a brand new life in your life. I'm not the judge. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what this Bible says. And when the Bible says you must be born again, that means there has to be a life that's gone and a life that's here. And this life here must be new. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Am I making sense or am I talking Japanese? I've often sit there and I've thought about the scriptures and thought about when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and hear about the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was bragging on the very fact that he was freeborn. Now think about this. The Apostle Paul, he's bound up. He's been punished. They're about to beat him. They're about to beat him plumb to death because he'd been preaching the gospel. But he realized he was freeborn as a Roman. Nobody paid his way. It was nobody else. Nobody. He didn't have to come up with some sum of money. He was realizing he was been freeborn a Roman. But the Apostle Paul was really resting in the thing that he was born again on the road to Damascus, had a brand new life and a brand new start, knowing this, that no matter what comes against him, that God was going to be for him. I wonder today in your life, saved people and lost people, is it a new life? Is it a better life? Is this life, is it what you expected? I sat across from that young man and we was talking. No doubt, he did not have no visions in his mind of being hooked on drugs. No doubt in his mind and in his heart, he's like, I'm not going to grow up and be a drug addict. I'm not going to grow up and be in trouble with the law. You said, preacher, how dare you say those things about that person? Because he was telling me and telling it publicly. He said, Jason, I'm an addict. I need help. And I offered him my help. I didn't say, well, I'm going to pray for you. I told him, I said, and some folks don't like this. And I'm going to get off, maybe I just got, God's pushing my button. I said, the first thing you need to do is stop being around all those people and get yourself in the house of God. If he can't get to the house of God, and right now he can. He can't. He can't leave his house. He's got to live in a basement, at least until the middle of, or the end of December. I said, you've got to turn to God. You've got to run to him with everything you've got. You can't hold nothing back. Now, you might be here and saying, well, preacher, my life ain't that bad. It may not be according to your judgment, but your life's in the same shape if you don't have God. Because at any moment, at any minute, in any second, you can leave, just like James said about his father-in-law, and the heart attack comes or the stroke comes, and it's over. You ain't got no time to cry out. You ain't got no time to have the preacher preach. I don't know how many times I've been called and said, preacher, can you come? Can you talk to him? And I go and I try to talk to him. I try to give him the word. I try to give him the gospel. But if God's not there on that other end, I'm just wasting air. But we come to the house of God and I get up here and God fills me up and I go through shoes and sweat and spit and handkerchiefs. I'm not up here for exercise. I'm not up here for a pat on the back. I'm not up here for a paycheck. But God says, Jason, you're up there. Warn them, sound the horn. I can't save you. If I could, I would. I would Jimmy Snuka off the top of the pulpit and land right on you, and you could get saved, but it don't work that way. Oh, Sterling Bowling, he's gone now. He's with the Lord. I remember, never forget, he hit me, and I used to holler this stuff. Man can't get saved when he wants to. Man can't get saved when he wants to. And I'd preach that and pound that and pound that. And I only had half of the story. Oh, Sterling told me, he said, Jason, you're right. They can't get saved when they want to. He said, but Jason, can I tell you what the Lord told me? I said, what's that, Sterling? He goes, they can't get saved unless they want to. And can I say this? The day I got saved, I wanted to get saved. I wanted relief. I wanted some peace. I wanted some rest. I wanted some love, and I wanted escape from the things that was tormenting me. Oh, I hear people all the time saying, preacher, you can't do it that way. You can't say it that way. That's how the Bible says it. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I was burdened. But if your burden, if your sorrow was worldly sorrow, that works death. But godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation that needeth not repented of. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Don't fall asleep on me. 2015. Thanksgiving coming right around the corner. Well, we got 4 days, 5 days, and it's Thanksgiving. More and more people skip over Thanksgiving more and more each year. we get to the holidays that we like. But can I remind everybody today, this right here will be the best day of your life. Preacher, what's your favorite day? April 4th. It's my favorite day. It's the day I got saved. Got born again, James Powell. You said, preacher, how do you know you've been born again? Because that old Jason Faulkner, he's dead and gone. And he is. He's dead and gone. You said, preacher, how'd you do it? I didn't do it. I'm one of them weak people. I had to run to him. I had to cling to Christ. I had to hold on with all my might. And I'm glad when I went there and I grabbed a hold of him. I didn't know it when I was doing it, but I'm glad he grabbed a hold of me. And now it's not by my might. It's not by my grip, Brother Jeff. But it's by his great and mighty powerful hand. Can I remind everybody in John chapter 10, it says, no man's able to pluck you out of his hand. Is that right? Well, let me ask you this question. How'd you get in his hand? Tammy was talking about babies last night. Folks having babies. Tammy's got a cousin that works in the maternity ward, is that what it's called? Tammy was pregnant with Caleb, and Caleb was coming. She knew it. That nurse said, push. And Tammy says, I shouldn't push. If I push, he's coming. She said, trust me, I know what I'm doing. She said, push. Tammy said, I shouldn't push. The nurse said, push. Tammy said, all right. Tammy pushed. And out in her hand come Caleb Faulkner. That nurse's eyes got real big and didn't know what to do. But Caleb landed in the hands of someone who had dealt and been in that position. Y'all hearing this, preacher? When you're born again, you get born into a set of hands that's a whole lot bigger than mine, more secure than mine, and they don't get feeble like mine. Greg, I'm glad Jesus doesn't get arthritis. I'm glad he don't get arthritis. I'm glad his fingers don't get stiff, but they're wide open, ready to have you land in the safest place.